Let me lead us in prayer as we come to look here at Psalm 13 together. Lord, thank you that your word speaks honestly as your word to us, but also sometimes as a reflection of your people, and in this case of Psalm David and his relationship with you. We pray that as we grapple with it, that you would help us to come to terms with David's grief and turmoil, that we would acknowledge that it's sometimes our own experience too, and that we would be empowered and strengthened to turn to you in our times of trial. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've never seen that music video before. Intriguing. I want to go to the People's Church or wherever it is now. So I wonder, have you ever felt like God has abandoned you? It's David's statement here, sort of one of the significant statements of this psalm. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You might feel that way when you've hit rock bottom. You might feel that way when circumstances are not going your way and the wave after wave of bad news comes. Or maybe it's not even circumstances, but for some inexplicable reason, you lack the motivation to get out of bed in the morning. And you go through a bout of depression and you're not sure why. You're hurting and you don't understand. You feel like there are goals unmet, desires unfulfilled. You feel like you're not enough for some reason or another. Well, David, he sung out, how long, because the way he was feeling, he didn't really feel like he could keep going for long. He didn't feel like he could keep enduring the circumstances that he was under for too long, and so he was crying out for help. Sometimes we might feel like that. How long are you going to let this go on, Lord, whether it be a sickness of the body or the mind, whether it be a frustration with a person and a relationship or with a circumstance or with a sickness, we don't know. Could be all sorts of things. David states several times, how long, how long, how long, how long. And the first part of this psalm is his complaint. As we dig into Psalm 13, I want us to think about what God has to offer to us in this sort of situation, and maybe even what we have to offer to others in a time of turmoil or difficulty or depression or hard circumstances. Sometimes we can come across as very trite, can't we? You'll be right. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Get over it. But that sort of doesn't help. Sometimes that trite statement deserves a punch in the nose almost from the person who's feeling frustrated and like, it's not okay. I don't feel like God loves me at the moment. But what else could we say? What else can there be? Well, David's complaint in the first couple of verses, he echoes how long, how long, how long, because he's not sure he can put up with it for much longer. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? It's painful to read this psalm. I find the second verse particularly haunting, that sorrow in his heart day after day that he has. David is not okay here. And there's something strangely comforting in that. I'm not sure why for Kana it was a special psalm. But for me, one of the things that's special about this is the honesty of the Bible. As we go through various experiences and emotions as human beings, we can recognise that those sorts of things aren't just censored out of the scriptures. those sorts of feelings aren't just completely ruled out and inappropriate for a Christian or the Christian life, but they're a real part of human experience and a Christian person's human experience. They're a real part of David's experience. And crying out to God in anguish and pain is far better than pretending it doesn't exist. Being real about it. God's people and David in the Psalms argue with God, complain to God, weep before him, not just tough it out and pretend everything's okay. This psalm helps to validate our suffering, to help us realize that it's okay to be not okay. It's okay to be not okay. Some Christians might say that you're not trusting God or praying hard enough if you're going through these sorts of difficult circumstances. That you should have a greater, stronger faith, and then you won't suffer and you won't get depression and you won't. That's not true. It's not true at all. The expectation of the Christian life is not that it will all go rosy because we trust God and we're his people and we'll be victorious. That's not what the scriptures teach us. But that there will be hardship, there will be suffering, there will be difficult times. That's David's testimony, and that's Paul's guarantee to us in the letters of the New Testament too. That there will be hard times, there will be difficult times. It's a normal part of the Christian life. There's no hint of guilt at all on David's part here in Psalm 13. He's not saying, sorry that I did the wrong things, I deserve this difficult time I'm going through. There may well be an aspect of his or our difficult circumstances that's of our own causing. All suffering in the end is related to sin, but not necessarily a direct correlation. Sometimes bad things just happen to good people. In this psalm, David has three main complaints. In those first two verses, if you look at it, he complains that God is absent. He complains that he is sad and depressed, that sorrow in his heart day after day, and he complains that his enemies are triumphing over him. And I think the complaint that God is absent probably flows from and is sort of the climax of the other two. I imagine he's facing difficult circumstances that mean his enemies are about to triumph over him. That could be some kind of physical sickness. He talks in that sort of language later in the psalm. That means he's about to be overcome with illness. It could be that there's some kind of battle or some political manipulation going on where he's being done over. And I imagine that in that circumstance, he's starting to get down in his thoughts and experiencing that sorrow. And in all of that, he's saying, why is this happening to me? Where is God? Why isn't he helping me? And so the absence of God is sort of the last thing to hit. Or that's sort of the way the logic would work in my head anyway. It's very easy to feel distant from God when things aren't going our way in life. In the Bible, there's a holistic understanding of the person. There's not a separate mind, body, and spirit that act independently from each other. And I think we can see here for David that all those three parts of himself are interacting. So there's a difficult circumstance, which may be physical health, or it might be the circumstance of politics or of war that's making life hard for him. And that physical or bodily circumstance is having an impact on his mind. And it's also having an impact on his spiritual health. Can you see the three being interrelated there? And that's an important reality for us to understand about ourselves. That our physical health will have an impact on our mental health, will have an impact on our spiritual health, and vice versa all the way. It's important for us to look after each three spheres of ourselves, each three aspects of ourselves, in order to be a holistically healthy person, in order to have a right relationship with God, to be well in ourselves and to be healthy physically. So we have to pay attention to all three and recognize that they interact with each other. As I said, the words of verse 2 really strike me when I read them. How long, David says, must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? I know many of you might have experienced depression in your life, some in bouts, some in an ongoing and persistent way. When you're physically sick, you can usually gather the wherewithal to process and go about a recovery plan. You got the flu, you go see the doctor, he tells you to rest or exercise or take medicine, and you go, you lock that in and you follow through with the plan, or you do your best. When you're mentally sick, when you're feeling down, it's hard to get the motivation to follow through with the plan. The plan might be to get out for a walk, to make sure you're spending time with friends. But it's difficult to follow through on that. When we're feeling spiritually unwell, it's difficult to get the motivation to pray, to read our Bibles. And so we often need to get help in these areas. David cries out to help to God because he's not sure that he can go on. He's not sure he can keep going with this daily sorrow that he's experiencing. My own experience of depression was really pretty brief and shallow, not that significant, but I might as well share it. About 5 years ago, after spending 3 years as an assistant minister at Engadine and being the fourth on, so there were already three ministers before me, the more senior people, the other three all left in a similar period of time, all for good reasons. And that meant a big jump in workload for me. But what I didn't realise it would mean is there were then a lot more people than I expected who looked to me for support when difficult things happened in their lives. So if they lost a loved one, they came to me and those sorts of things, because those other three that they would have called on were now not there. And it had a big drain on my emotions, I think. I'm a guy that just does things and sort of, I'll step up, I can do this, I can do that. And I was training and then ran in a marathon during that time as well. And I think what happened was after the marathon, my body let go and a disease I have called ulcerative colitis flared up and I was sick. But also that impacted on my mind and I started to feel down. And for a couple of months, really, I was feeling pretty down and finding that hard to get the motivation to do things, to read my Bible, to go about just normal everyday stuff. And so I needed to talk to Kate about it, to pray about it, to talk to my boss James about it, to say I need to limit what I'm doing at the moment so that I can recover. Many of us will go through that sort of thing, either as a one-off or as an ongoing thing. And I think, you know, David, we see, I think this is probably describing something like that. It's a reality of our being human beings that we're susceptible. And we need to be aware of that and we need to be open about it and honest about it. David calls out to God, verses 3 and 4, after his complaint of the first couple of verses, he calls out to God for help. Have a look with me at verses 3 and 4. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. David seems to be really urgent in his plea here. You know, if God doesn't come to help now, I might sleep in death. It might be that he's actually physically ill and on death's door, or it might be that he's just finding it so difficult to cope how long, that he thinks he won't be able to last any longer. He's going to give up, whatever that means for him. He's really struggling. And he's calling out to God thinking that God's not helping, he's not around. And the strange thing I find about this psalm is that we then shift straight from verse 4 to verse 5, and David in verse 5 and 6 is able to praise God, able to recall his unfailing love. And it seems a huge transition from verse 4 to 5, but nothing has happened. God hasn't come and helped necessarily. You'd hope that God will sweep down and sort all the circumstances out and then David will be okay, but it doesn't seem to be what happens. Instead, we get a resolve from David in verse 5 and 6, but we also get a realization. He resolves to trust God's unfailing love. But it also comes from a realization about something about God. He recalls that God's love is unfailing. And he recalls that God has been good to him. David might have been remembering that time when he helped David defeat Goliath with a sling. And God was good to him and against incredible odds. It was ridiculous. Everyone was laughing at this little boy going to take on Goliath. But God was with him, was good to him. David might be remembering the times when Solomon tried to kill him and he was spared by God. Or he might be remembering sort of bigger picture nation of Israel, the rescue of the Israelites out of Egypt that God did. We don't know what he's remembering, but he's remembering that God has been good to him and that God's love is unfailing because he's experienced it in the past. David's circumstances haven't necessarily changed in the shift from verse 1 to 4 to verses 5 and 6, but he has remembered God's faithfulness. And God's faithfulness in the past is the anchor that allows David to trust God in the present and for the future. God's faithfulness in the past is the anchor that allows David to trust God with the present and in the future. It's not necessarily an easy thing, but remembering that, he's able to rejoice in God's salvation, even in the midst of his circumstances and his daily sorrow. He's able to sing to the Lord, even in the grief that means he feels almost like he's going to sleep in death soon, and his enemies feel triumphed over him. I don't think this is David kind of stoically saying, even though I feel terrible, I'm going to shut up in my shell and praise the Lord anyway. I think having recalled God's faithfulness, he's able to genuinely trust God even in the midst of these circumstances. Now, David's relationship to God is potentially quite different to ours. He was God's chosen king of Israel, and God had promised him success and prosperity as the king he had given those promises to in 2 Samuel 7 and other places. We don't have those sorts of promises from God, do we? The promises of prosperity, the promises that we will be king. But God does promise us other things, spiritual victory and success. God promises us the ability to persevere, 1 Corinthians 10, and that he'll never put us in a situation that's too tempting for us to bear. You and I, in the end, have even greater promises from God than David had. And we can cling to those promises. You and I have an even greater demonstration of God's unfailing love to us and his faithfulness in the past for us as an anchor to hold on to. You might look back to particular times in your life when God has been faithful or answered prayer, as David could have looked back in his life. But all of us who trust in Christ can look back to a moment where God saved us. And he did it by sending his own son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross to forgive our sins, where he demonstrated 100% that he is for us, he is good to us. And so, with the assurance of God's unfailing love and that he is good to us, we can, not easily, but we can trust in his unfailing love. We can sing his praises and know that he's good for us, even if we're carrying a sorrow around in our hearts, even if we're dealing with really, really difficult circumstances. Jesus is God's faithfulness to us. And as we put our trust in him and keep our eyes fixed on him, then we can persevere, even in really difficult circumstances. We have been promised that the certainty of our future has been secured by Christ's death and his actions in the past. And I want to read and remind us again of the words David read from this David from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I'm making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." David cried out because he was worried, anxious that God was not with him. We have the promise and the assurance, and the emphasis in Revelation 21 is that God will be with us. And we have God with us now by the Holy Spirit's presence with us as a down deposit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, guaranteeing this time where we will be with God into eternity. So what do we have now to say in the face of suffering? Well, not necessarily that everything will be all okay. Sometimes it won't. And sometimes it won't be okay for a long period of time. Sometimes we'll experience a deep sorrow in our hearts day after day. And that won't be easy to deal with. We won't give trite responses saying, just trust God and you'll be right. We'll acknowledge each other's hurt and pain, each other's suffering and depression and difficult times. But we'll also keep pointing each other to God's unfailing love, to his faithfulness in the past that is an anchor to help us trust him in the present and for the future. God is faithful. And so we trust and hold on to his promises. We don't try and make up false ones about prosperity, about what God's going to bring us, but we dig into the word of God as an anchor for our soul. And so there's two things that I want us to remember, two things to learn from Psalm 13. The first is that it's okay to be not okay. And the second is that God's faithfulness in the past helps us to trust him in the present and for the future. So let me pray. Lord, life often isn't easy, and in various ways, each of us struggle. Lord, help us to be honest with you, to be comfortable enough to come before you in prayer, in complaint, in sorrow, in anger, in frustration. Help us in the midst of that to look to your faithfulness and know your love, to trust your promises. Lord, help us where appropriate to be honest with our friends, with our family members about the times we are not okay, so that we can offer help and support and encouragement, so that we can love one another and be there for each other through the good times and hard, and so that we can keep pointing each other to your faithfulness and reminding each other of your love and of the certain and sure hope of your presence with us by your Spirit and into eternity in the new heavens and new earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.